If you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 20, Matthew chapter 20, we're going to read the first 16 verses of what we call the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. And we want to look at a lesson that I've entitled the 11th hour obedience. 11th hour obedience. I got to thinking about this idea and this concept. Earlier this summer, I was going down Memorial Boulevard and I pulled up behind a car that had a bumper sticker on it. And I went home and was able to find that bumper sticker online. And it reads this way: many who plan to seek God at the 11th hour die at 10:30. And I normally don't develop lessons around a bumper sticker because often they don't have the right kind of message. Sometimes the message might be just outright vulgar. But this message, I thought, was good. And it's this idea that, well, I'm going to do it at the 11th hour, and they don't realize that their life is taken from them before the 11th hour even gets there. This expression, the 11th hour, is taken from Matthew chapter 20 and the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, and we're going to read the whole parable in just a moment, but it means something that is done at the last minute. Somebody wants to do something at the last minute. And I believe that there's a lot of people, like this bumper sticker says, they want to seek God. In the back of their mind, they know that there's a God. They believe that they should obey God. But I'm just not going to do that until the 11th hour, to the absolute last possible minute on my deathbed, and I'll go do something that I need to do. But many who do that, they don't realize that they're actually going to die at 10:30. They're going to die before that time comes. They've got it in their mind that on such and such last minute, I'll do it, but then that last minute never comes because they're taken long before that. So we're going to stand in just a moment and sing a song of encouragement. There's a great day coming. I think a lot of people realize that, they accept that, but their attitude is, well, I'm just going to do it right before it comes, at the 11th hour. I'm going to do it right the very last minute. And they don't realize that they may be taken away, their opportunity may be taken away long before that. And so this morning, I want us to consider this statement. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 20 and verse 1, where Jesus teaches the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. He says, verse 1, "For the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that was a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a shilling a day," that is a denarius or a day's wage, "he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw another standing in the marketplace idle. And to them he said, 'Go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you.' And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing. And he saith unto them, 'Why stand ye here all the day idle?' They say unto him, 'Because no man hath hired us.' He said unto them, 'Go you also into the vineyard.' And when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, 'Call the laborers and pay them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first.' And when they came, that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a shilling. And when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received every man a shilling. And when they received it, they murmured against the householder, saying, 'These last have spent but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he answered and said unto one of them, 'Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not thou agree with me for a shilling? Take up that which is thine and go thy way. It is my will to give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own, or is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last.'" If you'll notice the very last verse of chapter 19, "But many shall be last that are first, and first that are last. For the kingdom of heaven is like." In the latter part of chapter 19, Jesus had just dealt with the rich young ruler who walked away. And he walks away sorrowful, and then he says, "The last shall be first, and the first shall be last." And then he teaches a parable to illustrate that. This parable has some important lessons, and there are several that we could look at. For example, the need to go work and to sacrifice in the Lord's kingdom. We don't need to be lazy. Another lesson is that God keeps His word. He makes an agreement with these men to go work for a shilling, and He keeps His word. A third lesson that would be good to gain from this parable is that God's will determines the reward. Not what man says, but what God says. Look at verse 14. Did not I agree with you for a shilling? Take up that which is thine and go thy way. It is my will to give it unto you. My will. God determines the conditions in His kingdom and what we need to do to obey Him. And then this last lesson, the reward is the same for all. It doesn't matter when the man showed up early and worked all day, or if he showed up at the 11th hour, at the very last minute, it was the same. And so in the kingdom, it doesn't matter if someone comes early or comes late, they all get the same blessings. Everybody gets to go to heaven who's a faithful Christian. Now, in Jesus' setting, He probably had in mind the Jews. They knew early on God's will. But then the Gentiles, they're more like latecomers. But either way, Jew or Gentile, whether you've had a long relationship with God since Mount Sinai, going all the way back to Moses, or whether you're just now hearing the gospel for the first time like the Gentiles, either way, you're going to have the same blessings in the kingdom. But it's this statement, the 11th hour, that I want to consider. Jesus was speaking a parable using Jewish time. Notice in verse 3 and 4, the first ones that go out, they go out at the third hour. Jesus is talking about a day that begins at 6 a.m. So the Jewish time, our day begins at 12 p.m. at night. Their day began at 6 a.m. So the third hour would be 9 a.m. Look at verses 3 and 4. Some go out at the third hour. So they begin their day at 9 a.m. Verse 6. Some go out at the sixth hour, which is 12 noon. And then some go out at the ninth hour. That's 3 p.m. So they're late in the afternoon. And then some go out at the 11th hour. That's 5 p.m. That's just 1 hour before quitting time at the end of the day, 6 p.m. So there's some who have been out there 9 hours from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Some have been out there 6 hours from 12 noon down to 6 p.m. Some have been out there 3 hours, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. And then some have been out there 1 hour, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. or the 11th hour. Okay? Just right at the end of the day, they all receive the same blessings. And Jesus is saying that everyone gets the same blessing. Everyone is equal. Verse 12, thou hast made them equal unto us. That's right. Everyone gets the same blessings in the kingdom. But what I want to talk about this morning is this matter of the 11th hour. I believe that there are people who intentionally delay their obedience to the last minute. And I believe that that is very unwise, and that's what we want to talk about this morning. However, let me state this. Jesus talks about the fact that whether we come early or whether we come late, we all get the same blessing. So listen very carefully. It doesn't matter whether you've been a Christian 50 seconds when Jesus comes, 50 days, or 50 years, we all get the same blessings. I'm not talking about someone who genuinely obeys the gospel at the end of their life. And that happens. There are things that happen in people's lives that shake them up in such a way that they obey and they do what they need to do at the very last point in their life. And if I understand this parable properly, they're going to receive the same thing as someone like my father, for example, he's 90 years old. He's been a Christian since an early age. Same blessings. Whether you've been a Christian one day or 100 days or all your life or a good part of it, we all get the same blessings. However, I want to talk about this morning's a different kind of 11th hour person. Someone who intentionally puts it off. Someone who intentionally delays. Someone who intentionally knows that they need to do it now, but we're going to put it off. That's the person I want to talk about this morning. We get this expression, the 11th hour, from this very parable, where somebody is just going to do something at the last minute. What they don't realize is what this bumper sticker is teaching is, well, I'm just going to do it later down the road, and they don't realize that their life is taken now. We all know of situations where people are taken from this life unexpectedly. People die of heart attacks before they're 50, things like that. Or young people who die in auto accidents, and all kinds of things go on, and we're taken from this life. Or just the Lord coming again, for that matter. I want to talk about how unwise it is to intentionally put off obeying. I want us to consider this morning four reasons why it is unwise to put off our obedience. Now, this morning when I say obedience, I don't mean just someone who needs to come and be baptized into Christ. I mean us as well, maybe members of the church who need to make some changes, maybe some habit we need to change, maybe some attitude we need to change, maybe something that we need to start doing that we haven't been doing, maybe some growth that we need to make. I'm talking about all of us here this morning, some change. The change might be obeying for the first time. The change might be maturing as a Christian. But it's unwise to be an 11th hour person. For these reasons, number one, we are responsible right now. I think some people have the attitude that I'm not responsible to God until that very last minute. And on that very last minute, then I'll get responsible, then I'll get accountable, then I'll really start thinking about what I need to do and really take that kind of thing seriously. We are responsible now. We were responsible yesterday. And it's because of this principle. That when God gives us His Word, at that very moment, we are responsible. And delaying obedience is unwise because we are responsible now. We don't need to be thinking, well, it doesn't apply to me until that very last minute where, you know, things are almost gone. And then I'm responsible. No, I'm responsible now. Let's look at a few Bible passages. Turn with me to John chapter 3. The moment that the gospel went into all the world, which was 2,000 years ago, the moment that the gospel went into all the world, all of the world was responsible. We're responsible right now before God. We are accountable, and He's going to hold us accountable. Don't be thinking, well, I'm not accountable until later on. I'm accountable now. Look at John 3:16, this well-known passage. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent not the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through Him. The world was already judged by God. They didn't need a judge, they needed a Savior. Some have misinterpreted that verse to say that Jesus doesn't judge anyone. No, God had already judged the world as being in sin. He sent a Savior to them. There's nothing wrong with judging. Verse 18, He that believeth on Him is not judged. He that believeth on Him is not judged. He that believeth not hath been judged already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and cometh not to the light, lest his works should be reproved. The moment that people did not believe in Jesus, at that moment, verse 18, he that believeth not, and that believeth not is not just simply does not have faith, but does not obey. He that believeth not hath been judged already. Look at verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life, but he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life at that moment, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Not down the road, not well later on, no, right now, when I do not obey, the wrath of God abides. That's present tense. It's abiding on me right now. You see, I'm responsible now. Some people have the attitude, well, not until later. No, right now. That's why I need to change right now. Look at John 15. John 15. In John chapter 15 and verse 22, Jesus said, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin." Jesus spoke to these people. He talked to these people. And they are without excuse. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. They are accountable now. They're without excuse now, you see. Because I have come and told them about their condition. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and verse 44, when Paul is preaching in Antioch. Acts 13, 44, he had just preached a sermon starting in the Old Testament with how that God brought Israel out of Egypt. And he worked his way all the way up to Jesus. Look, verse 37 and 38. Jesus can bring remission of their sins. And so they've just heard a gospel sermon. Okay, verse 44. And the next Sabbath, almost a whole city was gathered together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with jealousy and contradicted the things which were spoken by Paul and blasphemed. And Paul and Barnabas spake out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken unto you. Seeing you thrust it from you, you don't want it. What did he say? And judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. You have thrust it from you. Right now, you judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. You don't have to wait till later to know what you're going to get. That's right now. That's what you're going to get right now. You are responsible people, and you said you don't want it. Okay, you judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life now, you see. And so we're accountable now. Look at chapter 18 and verse 6, when Paul is preaching in Corinth. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, these Jews, often they did not want the gospel. Some did, many of them didn't. He shook out his raiment and said, look at it, your blood be upon your own heads. Right now, you are guilty. You are accountable. You are going to be judged unworthy of eternal life, and your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. In other words, I've given you a chance. I've preached the gospel to you. From henceforth, I will go into the Gentiles. I'll go to people who don't, who do want the truth, as you people do not want the truth. So he left these Jews and he went, and many of the Corinthians there were obedient. Your blood be upon your own head. So number one, delaying obedience is extremely unwise because we're responsible right now. Number two, delaying obedience and any change that we need to make in our lives is completely unwise because we do not know some things. When we delay our obedience and when we delay making changes in our life, we don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when Jesus is going to return. We just don't know some things. We know a lot of things. We're using medicine to heal more and more people. And we're progressing in the way we do in recycling and technology and medicine and science and a lot of advances in our country and in our nation and in our world. And we're using our minds to know a lot of good things, but there's still some things we just don't know. We don't know the day of our death. And we don't know when Jesus is going to return. So delaying obedience is extremely unwise for that reason. We may die, or we may be alive when Jesus comes, but we don't know. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Over and over again, the second coming of Jesus is described how? As a thief what? As a thief in the night. A thief does not announce his presence when he comes. He does that secretly. You don't know when he's coming, and that's the way Jesus is going to come. But concerning the times and seasons, 1 Thessalonians 5:1, you have no need that ought be written unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. What's interesting about verse 2 is you know perfectly, you know that. It's perfect knowledge, and yet, we still ignore it. Sometimes we don't live like we know it. We know it, but we don't live like we know it. We need to live like we know that Jesus is going to come unexpectedly and make the changes that we need to make. So back in chapter 4 and verse 13, some brethren will pass away, some will still be living. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them, that's brethren, that are fallen asleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. They'll be raised. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we that are alive, look at verse 14, some are going to be dead and raised, and Jesus will bring them. And then there will be those of us, verse 15, who are alive. Some will be living when Jesus comes, some will be dead, and they will all be joined together. But we don't know when He's going to come. Chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And so we have to be sober, verse 8. Be sober. We have to be alert. We have to be obedient. We just don't know when Jesus is going to come. We don't know when is the day of our death. Jesus' return will be unexpected. So many times, over and over and over again, Jesus' coming is likened unto a thief in the night. Matthew 24:44. Matthew 25:13. 1 Thessalonians 5:2. And 2 Peter 3:10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. So, this idea of just putting it off, I'll get around to it. When I was little, someone had made a round to it. Have you ever seen that? You ever seen a round to it? They just made a little round circle and put to it on it. Here's a round to it. They passed them. I thought that was kind of neat. I remember my dad had some, just sort of a joke, get around to it. We'll get around to it, you know. I'll do that. You just keep putting it off. The 11th hour. They don't realize that they might die at 10:30. In other words, way back this way, something may happen and we just do not get to that thing that we said that we would do. So number one, it's unwise because we're responsible right now. Number two, we don't know. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when Jesus is coming again. And number three, it's very unwise to put off obedience or change or whatever it is in our life we need to do because we can become hardened. And today we're saying, oh yeah, I've got a time picked out in the future. We're still somewhat soft about that. We've got a conscience about that. But every day that goes by, we get a little bit more hardened and hardened. And pretty soon, we're no longer thinking about that 11th hour. And I'm going to do that. Pretty soon, we just don't want to do that. We can become hardened. And so delaying obedience is unwise because we can become hardened to the idea of the need to change. Right now, we like the idea. We're on board with the idea. We even talk about it. Well, I'll do such and such. But there's going to come a time when we stop talking about it and thinking about it and wanting to do anything about it. And it's the devil's way of slowly getting us hardened. It's like putting a piece of clay out in the sun. You don't just see a dramatic change there. It goes from something that's soft and pliable to after a little while, it's just hard as a rock. And each day that goes by, we get just a little bit more hardened to that idea of needing to make some changes. We're soft now because we have a humble attitude, but we can become hardened. Look at Acts chapter 19 and verse 10. Some were hardened and disobedient concerning the way. They just did not want to obey. And it may come quicker than we think. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. One of the dangers that the author of Hebrews warns against is this idea of Christians becoming hardened to the idea. And what's interesting about this passage of Scripture is, I don't know of any other passage of Scripture where an Old Testament quotation is made and over again the word today is mentioned. Once would be fine, but he keeps mentioning today. The reason I asked Carlin to read 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2 for the Scripture reading, today is the day of salvation. Read this passage with me in Hebrews and notice four times he says today. Once would have been fine, but four times. That lets us know that some people have a problem with doing stuff today. We call it procrastination. We call it, you know, the 11th hour, just putting it off. And so just over and over again, I don't know of any other passage in the New Testament that does that. Look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4. Wherefore, even as the Holy Spirit saith, and then he quotes Psalm 95:7. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. That's when Israel was going through the wilderness and they were hardened and disobedient. Like as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tried or tested me by proving me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was displeased with this generation and said, they do always err in their heart. But they did not know my ways. As I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Why? Because they were hardened. Verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God, but exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called today. That's the second time. So long as it is called today, lest any one of you become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And if we would continue reading, we would come down to verse 15. Today, if you shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If we come on down to chapter 4 and verse 7, today, if you shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Four times. Once would have been fine, but four times in a short period of Scripture. Why? Because of the hardening of the deceitfulness of sin. We just slowly, and we don't want to do it today. We just keep putting it off. So the third reason why this idea of 11th hour obedience is extremely unwise is because we can become hardened. And right now we're fine. Right now we have it in our mind, at such and such time in my life, I'm going to make such and such change. But that's because we're humble right now and we're thinking about it and we're concerned about it. But the devil gets us each day, and then a week goes by, and then months go by and years go by. And then pretty soon we're not thinking or caring about it anymore. And good intentions go by the wayside. And now we're not talking like we once were about making that change. It's because of that slow, gradual hardening. And so chapter 3, verse 12, being hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So that slow hardening comes about. And then we don't make that change. And then last of all, it's extremely unwise. And I think this is something that we don't think about. It's extremely unwise to put off our obedience to the Lord. Because every day that we do that, we waste a day in the Lord's service. We rob ourselves of the good service that we could be giving ourselves, others, our spouse, our family, our friends, and most importantly, the Lord. Delaying obedience is unwise because we rob ourselves of good years of service to the Lord and others. All that time I was putting it off would have been time spent in the Lord's service, being a Christian, being active in the local church, volunteering, doing things. But no, I'm just going to do it at the last possible minute. Why do that? Why do that? Does the parable teach that when a person genuinely obeys the Lord at the very last minute, that he's a part of the kingdom just like somebody who's been there all of his life? Absolutely. I want to be clear about that. I'm talking about the person who intentionally puts it off. It's unwise to do that because of, look at all of the days and weeks and months and years we could have been using as a faithful Christian, helping ourselves and helping others. Let's look at a few things that we're missing out on. When we put it off to the last minute, there's little time left to be working good. Jesus said, I work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. There would have been years that I could have been spent doing the Lord's work. To be a light to others. To be a true Christian light. Philippians chapter 2 verse 15. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We need teachers in the church. Acts 13, 1. I could have been teaching a Bible class. We need elders. We need deacons. We need gospel preachers. We need Christian spouses. We need Christians at work. Christians at school, Christians in our community. But if I just put it off to the last minute, then I've wasted those years that I could have been spending in the Lord's kingdom and in the Lord's body. A real godly life. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. Godliness has the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. All of those days and hours and weeks and months and years that I spent just in the devil's service or in my own, what I wanted to do or doing the things of the world, all of it is wasted. I could have been using that for the Lord. Godliness is profitable, having the promise, look at the promise of the life which now is. I want to talk about that. We know about that which is to come. We know about heaven. But what about the life that now is, the godly Christian life? Well, hardly any time left for that because I've just squandered it. Waiting for that absolute last 11th hour. And so I want us to think about, brethren, today, at least what I've wasted from today in the back, at least I'm not going to do that anymore. So today and forward is going to be spent in the Lord's service. I and my spouse are going to be on the same page. I and my children are going to be on the same page. And so forth, on down the line. We're going to be serving God together. Not almost together, not close, but the way the New Testament teaches it's supposed to be. I'm going to spend today and the rest of my life doing that. I'm not going to waste another day. Whatever change I need to make. You see, the 11th hour, I believe the 11th hour comes up genuinely for some individuals. And they obey, and the Lord is pleased with them. But I believe also the 11th hour is used by many as just the procrastinating excuse to put it off to the last minute. Well, it's unwise, number one, because we're responsible now. And number two, we don't know some things. And we don't know when the Lord is coming again or when we might even die ourselves. And number three, we can become hardened. And right now we're thinking about, you know, what we might do down the road. But if we become hardened, we won't care about that down the road. And then last of all, we rob ourselves of all those good things that we could be using in the Lord's service. And I've just listed a few. You could have chart after chart after chart of all the things we could be doing for the Lord. These are just a few that we should consider. So, obey now. You know, we need to hear Jesus. We need to hear the words of Jesus. When we do not obey the gospel of Jesus, 2 Thessalonians 1:8, we will get vengeance when He comes again. We need to believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God, John chapter 20 and verse 31. We need to turn to Jesus, repent, turn our back on our sins and turn to Him and come to Him. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 21, if you'll turn with me there, we need to come to Jesus and turn our back on that life of sin and those things of the world. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 21, Paul testified both to Jews and to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. When I come in faith toward Jesus and I believe in Him and believe on Him, I'm also turning toward Him and turning to God and turning away. I need to confess that He is the Christ, the Son of God, Romans 10, 9 and 10. I need to put Him on in baptism. And I'm buried with Christ in baptism, Romans 6 and verse 3. And then I must live a godly life. I think about what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:12. All that would live godly in Christ Jesus. So I have to continue after my baptism. I have to continue living that godly life. We need to do that now. We need to do that today. You know, if I'm an erring child of God and there's sin in my life in some way, I need to repent and pray for forgiveness. Just like Peter told Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, verses 20 through 24. If I'm a faithful Christian, I need to grow. I need to add to my faith. I need to make the changes that I need to make. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. But I need to do that now. I need to do that today. You know, in the New Testament, and we'll close with this point, there was no putting off, there was no procrastination, there was no down the road or I'll think about it later. It was always, always in the book of Acts, immediately. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 36, Philip commanded the chariot to stand still and they straightway or immediately went down into the water. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 33, with regard to the jailer and his household, immediately or straightway, he repented, he washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, in the same hour of the night. Ananias told Saul, arise, why tarriest thou? Why are you delaying? Look at that question. Why are you delaying? There's no good sense and no good reason for doing that. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And then the passage in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Today is the day of salvation. We're not going to look for some convenient season like Felix did in Acts 24:25. We're not going to say, go thy way. You know, let's talk about it later. Some just don't talk about it at all. I don't want to talk about that. We're not going to talk about that here. Okay, well, you can have that approach, but it doesn't make your situation any better. You can get quiet, not talk about it. You can get mad. Some people get mad. Some people get quiet. But that's their defense mechanism not to deal with it. Felix, here's what he did. He didn't get mad. He didn't get quiet. He just said to Paul, go thy way. And when I have a convenient season, I'll call you. That's how he dealt with it. People deal with it different ways. But the result is the same. We're just putting it off. And so we have to come to grips with that very point, and we have to face up with what's happening. We're not going to be like Felix, go that way for a convenient season. We're not going to be like Agrippa, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. I'm just almost there. No, we're going to be altogether a Christian, not just almost. And so I wanted us to think about this 11th hour approach. And that bumper sticker, it just caught my mind. You know, those who want to obey at the 11th hour, they don't realize they're going to die at 10:30. That's a good point. It really is a good point. And those who, I'm just going to do it then. Something happens way back here where it just doesn't get done. And so we know that we have the promise of right now. As we stand and sing this song of encouragement, Eric is going to come and lead our minds. There is a great day coming. We all know that. We all believe that. We all accept that. But are we ready for that day? And if the answer is no, and there's some change that we need to make, let's do that. It may be something privately that we need to make. Personally, something that we're going to work on, or it may be something, there are some things that have to be done before others. Being baptized into Christ and making that good confession. Paul talks about you've made the good confession before many witnesses. There's some things that have to be done before others. And so whatever that is, why won't you come and do that? And we can assist you in doing that as we stand and as we sing.